praying for the church at Ephesus. And he begins in verse 13 with his prayer. It says, verse 15. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And I want you to notice something, that he is thanking. He starts off his prayer, first of all, by remembering them and then thanking them. You know, thanksgiving is a good part of our prayer. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. And Paul here, he was giving thanks. He was thanking God for them while he was mentioning them in the prayers. And verse 17 says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." So Paul, he prayed that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many has gotten to know more things about Jesus since you met him than before you met him? Amen? And we're going to be learning things about the Lord as we go on this journey. And you graduate when you leave this earth. So if we're still on this earth and we're still breathing, there are still things that we can know about the Lord that we don't know. Why? Because the Bible is alive. It's not just a book of stories, but it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. One way that God reveals himself is through the scriptures. And you can read a scripture and God can show you more things about one scripture over a period of time than you never thought you would know. Isn't that correct? How many has read a scripture over and over and you've got different things out of it each time? Well, that's because part of the revelation of God is it's progressive. All right? And I just want to go over some definitions before we go on. Revelation, it's God's communication to people concerning himself. All right? That's according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary. God's communication to people concerning himself, his moral standards, and his plan of salvation. That's one of the things that revelation does. It is an uncovering or an unveiling. It's expressive of the fact that God has made known to men truths and realities that men cannot discover for themselves. There's no person on earth that could come up with things about God on their own. Peter. Now, was Peter educated? No. He was often referred to as ignorant and unlearned. And they were amazed at the authority that he operated in. Well, one day, Jesus, we looked at this last week, he said, you know, who do the people say that I am? And they said, oh, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Isaiah, and some of the other prophets. But he said, who do you say that I am? In other words, who am I to you? And Peter, you know, he often acted and spoke without thinking. And he just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus made this point. He said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that truth to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So there was no way that Peter could have known that unless it was revealed to him. See, in order for the Word of God to be real, the Holy Spirit must reveal it to you. And when he reveals it to you, it's like he puts a deposit in your account. He deposits something into your spirit. and it becomes a part of you. How many ate dinner tonight or lunch or breakfast or something today? What happened to that food that you ate? You chewed it up. It went through a process called digestion, and your body extracted the nutrients and whatever your body could use for energy from whatever you ate. It became a part of you, didn't it? How did it become a part of you? It got in you. And see, when the Word of God gets in us, that's how revelation operates. It gets in us and it becomes a part of us. That's why we need revelation. Okay? According to McClintock and Strong Encyclopedia, divine revelation is that direct communication of truths before unknown from God to men. And the disclosure may be made by dreams, visions, oral communication, or otherwise. There are many ways, say many ways. There are many ways by which revelation can come. Okay? God's not limited to just one way. Some, you know, Fiona gets revelations through dreams a lot, dreams and visions. I'm amazed when she tells me the dreams that she has. And sometimes she'll be fighting and moaning and groaning in these dreams. There'll be times I'm like, I'm just praying for her because I don't know what she's doing. Some might just get a witness on the inside. You might just know something. However God does it, the how is not that important right now, just that he does, okay? But it's God communicating to you, and it's the operation of the Holy Spirit by which truths before unknown are communicated to men. So the Holy Spirit, he takes God's truths and he makes it known to us. He teaches us. He imparts it to us. He shows it. He pulls back the veil. And you're like, oh, now I know what that means. How many's ever read a scripture before and you're like, what are you talking about? You read that scripture like, you know, what does that mean? And then maybe a period later or something, somewhere down the road, you go, oh, that's what that means. The light just went on. You were just now enlightened. Your light became on, you know. When you open your car door, what happens? The light goes on. I'll tell you a funny story. My grandfather, he had cataracts, so he gave me his 79 Pontiac Grand Le Mans. It was a four-door car. And the dome light on that car never worked. I mean, it stopped working. And one night, my parents, who are visiting with us, but they're not here tonight, my parents took that car to church. And it never occurred before, and it never occurred after. But that night, after church, they went and opened the car door, and the light came on. And it was so startling, my mom came back and told me, she said, you never believe what happened. I think God's trying to tell me something. It never happened, that dome light never went on before that, and it never went on after that, just that one moment, she opened that car door and the light came on. It was right after she went to church that night. It was a different church than what she was used to. And her impression of that incident, she came back and she said, God must be telling me something. I said, yeah, he is. You know? According to Easton's Bible Dictionary, it says, revelation is an uncovering, a bringing to light of that which had been previously or wholly hidden or obscurely seen. And God wants to make his ways known to us. How many believe God speaks in mysteries? Yeah, he does. He does not work in mysterious ways because, I'll tell you why. Those who believe in him have been given the keys or the privilege to understand his mysteries. So, yeah, he might seem mysterious, but he'll give you the understanding to make that mystery plain or to solve that mystery. So it's not a mystery to those who believe in him. But it is a mystery to unbelievers. That's why they need to come in contact with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That's why when they get born again, they start to find out things about God that they never knew before. And that comes through preaching. Preaching is another way that God reveals himself to us. All right? God wants to make himself known to us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we looked at this a little bit last week also. What's the last book of the New Testament called? Revelation. God is so much into Revelation that he named a whole book. The last book of the New Testament. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John. John was on in the middle of nowhere on the Isle of Patmos. Do you realize that they tried to kill John? They tried to boil him in oil, but it didn't work. So they had to exile him. And he was on this island, and that's when he got this revelation about Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. How many know that God has some things prepared for them that love him? Say, God's got some things prepared for me. Okay? Now, the things that God has prepared for you don't come by your physical sight or your physical hearing or your senses. Okay? He's got some things prepared for you. That means they're already in place. Now, how do you get there? It's going to be through revelation. How many know the story of Abraham? God told him, he said, I want you to give me Isaac. I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham had grown in his relationship with God. He had grown in his trust with God. So when God asked him this, it wasn't a problem for Abraham, because God, the sacrificing of Isaac was not the first thing that God said to Abraham, was it? No, the first thing he said was, I want you to leave your home, your family, and your father's house and go where I tell you. And he did that, and he grew in his relationship with the Lord, and now the Lord was able to speak to him, say, I want you to give me your son Isaac, Genesis chapter 22. So they're traveling up to the place where God told them where he needs to sacrifice Isaac, and Abraham actually saw it in the distance. And Isaac asked this question. He said, we have the wood, and we have the tools for the sacrifice, but what are we going to sacrifice? And Abraham's response was, God will provide himself a lamb. See, in other words, God had that provision of the lamb already in place. But in order for Abraham to receive that provision, he had to walk by revelation to where God showed him. Okay? Do you see that? So that blessing was already scheduled for Abraham. As long as Abraham walked in the revelation that he had, he would get to that provision. God had that lamb prepared for Abraham, didn't he? And when he raised that knife over Isaac, he heard a voice from heaven said, Abraham, don't hurt the boy. I've seen your heart. I know that you fear God. Right? And what did Abraham find that was caught in the thicket? A ram was caught in the thicket. So he didn't know that ram was there before, did he? But God had that ram prepared for that moment and that time, and it was by revelation that Abraham received the provision. He received what was prepared for him. And when he obeyed the revelation, he got a further revelation, and he saw into the future. He saw what God was going to do with his only son. He got a picture of what, because of what he did, God showed him further things. Okay, you can read the story. We don't have time to go into it. But my point was that God had something prepared for Abraham, but in order for Abraham to get there, it came by revelation. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So the things that God has prepared for you, they're revealed to you, they're shown to you, they're disclosed to you, they're unveiled to you by the Spirit. Not by any other means. But how that Spirit, how the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he has a variety of ways of speaking to us, doesn't he? And don't be jealous because God speaks to someone some way and you a different way, because you're different, aren't you? There's not one person in here that's the same. Not one fingerprint, not one eyelash. We're different, aren't we? So God speaks to us on our level. And it's okay to be different. Celebrate your differences. It'd be boring if we were all the same, wouldn't it? So God reveals the things that He has prepared for you by His Spirit, because the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's nobody that knows more about God than the Spirit, because God is Spirit. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So the Holy Spirit, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He is the one who shows us what's prepared for us. You want to walk in all that God has for you? Follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. You stay with the Spirit, and, you know, he'll never disagree with the Word, ever. So the Spirit, because the Word is Spirit, isn't it? It's alive. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know." Say no. That's another way of revelation. It's knowing the things that are freely given to us by God. What are some things that are freely given to us by God? Name some. Healing? Sight? Is that what you said? Yeah? Salvation? What are some other things that are freely given to us by God? Love? Absolutely. Acceptance? What? Peace? Absolutely. He's the Prince of Peace, isn't he? So this is why people who don't know Jesus Christ don't know what they've been given. They don't know what's been prepared for them, because it hasn't been revealed to them, because they cannot hear spiritual things. You got to get born again. Now, the Holy Spirit, He's involved in getting us born again, right? Because no one can get born again unless He draws him, right? So He helps us into that as well. So He shows us the things that are freely given to us. Okay? So it's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You want to grow in your revelation? Pray what Paul prayed about you. Say, "Father, I pray that you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your Son Jesus. Lord, thank you that the eyes of my understanding are enlightened, that I know the hope of your calling, that I know your resurrection power, that I know about my inheritance." God wants you to know about His power, He wants you to know about His inheritance, and He wants you to know about Him. All right? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things." Has given to us. Does that mean He's going to give it to us? That means it's already been given to us. What's been given to us? All things that pertain to life and godliness, physical, spiritual, Everything your physical life needs, everything your spiritual being needs, has already been given to us. Well, how do you possess it? Through revelation. How did Joshua and Caleb know that Canaan was their land? Because God spoke to them and said, I have given you this land. I am bringing you. He told them about the land. He told them about the land over and over and over again. And it was Joshua and Caleb. They got a revelation. The other people didn't have a revelation. They were naturally minded. So their natural mind hindered them from entering into what God had for them. God had it for all of Israel. Canaan was the promised land. He told Abraham about the promised land. He told Isaac. He told Jacob. He told them and told them and told them, but only a few got the revelation of it. And only a few possessed what they were given. Because some refused to receive the revelation of it, right? So he's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's one of our confessions, isn't it? Well, now you know where that's found, that one. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith all these things. And look back at verse 3. How we receive what's been given to us is through the knowledge of Him. So when Paul was praying that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, you can't operate in what you don't know. Isn't that true? If you're driving somewhere and you don't know where you're going, then you're probably not going to get there. Isn't that true? Unless you hit it by accident. Oh, I just kind of ran into where I was supposed to be. But see, when you get knowledge of Him, the more knowledge you have of Him, the more things you can walk in. The less knowledge you have of Him, the less things you walk in. All right? It's all about knowing Him. Okay? So the Holy Spirit shows us things. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And let's look at verse 11. Well, let's go back to verse 10. The disciples came and said unto Him, why do you speak unto them in parables? It's a good question, isn't it? He answered and said unto them, to His disciples, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries. Say, I can know the mysteries. Guess what? If you know a mystery, it's not a mystery anymore. Amen? It's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. What is he talking about? Him who has what? Revelation knowledge. If you have a revelation, that is your key to get more. But if you don't have a revelation, and a revelation starts with relationship. Okay? Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. Ones that hung around him, worked with him, walked with him, ate with him. Okay? He's talking to his disciples, to you and I. Him who has revelation or revelation knowledge, you're going to receive more. But to him who doesn't have a revelation, the man with the one talent didn't have a revelation. First of all, he said, my master is a hard taskmaster. He reaps where he doesn't sow. Well, that's not true. God doesn't reap where he doesn't sow. Because it was God who instituted seed time and harvest. Do you realize that every plant that he planted in the Garden of Eden had a seed that could produce after its own kind? It was the seed that multiplied. So God is, first of all, God is not hard, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that man with one talent had no revelation of who God was or who God is. Therefore, because he did not have a revelation, he was not able to use his talent properly, and it was taken away. So if we don't have a revelation of who he is, it's going to be harder to lose what we have. I mean, it's going to be easier to lose what we have. When you have a revelation, God will give you more. If you don't have a revelation, you'll lose what you have. A revelation is what makes the truth of the kingdom of God real to you. It's God speaking to you. It's a revealed truth. It's a revealed fact. It's a revealed characteristic about God. He shows it to you. He imparts it to you. He deposits it in you so that you can now operate in that truth. That's the whole point of revelation. He wants you to operate in it. He wants you to do it. Be doers of the word, didn't he say that? And not hearers only? Someone who only hears and doesn't do, they don't receive the revelation. How do you know if someone has a revelation? They practice it. When you get a revelation of love your neighbor as yourself, you'll begin to start walking in love. Anybody can do any kind of nasty thing to you, and it's not going to faze you, because you're walking in that revelation. And the more you walk in that revelation, the stronger it'll get in you. The less you walk in that revelation, it becomes harder and harder and harder. Amen? Is this okay? So it's been given to you to know. Aren't you glad for that? 1 John 2:20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an unction, someone on the inside to lead and guide and direct you through the affairs of life. You have an unction, a knowing on the inside of you. Thank God for an unction to function. Go with me to John chapter 16. John 16. And look at verse 12. Jesus is talking here. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You know that, thank God, that revelation is progressive. If you don't get something right away, don't throw it away. Just put it on the shelf. You know, they say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Or don't put the cart before the horse. Okay? If you hear a truth and you don't have an understanding where you can grasp it, don't throw it away. Just keep walking in faith, and it'll be made clear to you. Notice, Jesus wanted to tell them some things, but they could not bear them now. They could not receive them now. It wasn't time. But notice what he did. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into how much truth? A little truth, right? Are you sure he's talking about all truth? He'll guide you. He'll guide me into all truth. So what you don't know, you can ask him to show it to you. You can ask him to teach it to you. You can ask him to reveal it to you. Showing is revealing. He pulls back the veil. He uncovers. He discloses. He'll guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He'll always glorify the word. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Aren't you glad? We are joint heirs with Jesus, right? And as a joint heir, what Jesus gets, we get. There's no difference in what he receives for us receiving. If Jesus walked in divine health, we can walk in divine health. If he had strength when he was weak, we can have strength when we're weak. If he needed something to provide for life, his Father would make it. Or the Holy Spirit would show him where it was. Why don't you go and tell the owner of that house to make that room ready? Tell him that the master needs it. Or the donkey, tell him that the master needs it. Hey, Peter. Oh, yeah, we got to pay our taxes. Go throw in your line, and the first fish you catch is going to have two coins in it, one for me and one for you. What are we going to do? We got 5,000 men over for dinner, and all I got is one chicken. What are you going to do? Thank God for this chicken, Lord. Multiply it. Jesus never got worried about anything. Come on. So if you're worrying about the affairs of life, you need a revelation. You need a revelation of provision of how good your Father is. I know what the Bible says. I know what you have need before you ask. I just want you to ask. Say, our Father is good. Say, God is good. Say, God is good to me. You know, it was Oral Roberts who got a revelation that God is good. People thought, you shouldn't be saying that. But he kept saying it. Because God is good. See, when you get a revelation of God and about his characteristics, you want to shout it from the rooftops. I know. See, now, for me, I don't get as excited as some. For me, my level of excitement is probably a lot lower than some. Doesn't mean I'm not excited. I'm just not as expressive with my excitement. But sometimes when people get a revelation, they're like, can you believe what I just found out about God? I want to show you. You want to tell someone? You cannot keep it silent. You get, you know, when God shows you something. Learning about God and about faith and about how the kingdom works, it's exciting. And when you get a revelation, you will literally receive light. You'll glow. It'll show on your face. It'll show in your expression. There are times and places. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. I love this verse. 29:29. You know that there are some things that we don't know? This verse answers that question. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Sometimes you wonder why things happen the way they happen in life or to this individual. Why this person was so good. This person was just so wonderful. They were a star Christian, but yet they suffered so much. Unless God reveals it to you, you don't know. And you just need to leave the secret things to God. Amen? And if God doesn't want to show you, that's his business. The secret things belong to God. But If he does show you something, the revelation belongs to you. The revelation is your possession forever. Isn't that what that verse says? Great. If God gives you a revelation about something, fine. But if he doesn't, don't complain. Well, and don't speculate. There's no futures market in the kingdom of God. There's no speculation. You know, some things happen to people and we don't know why. And we might not ever have the answer. But you got to remember, the secret things belong to God. And if God chooses to reveal that secret to you, fine. But if he doesn't, that's fine too. Well, I don't know why this happened. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to know. Don't be nosy sometimes. Sometimes we just don't know why things happen. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The Bible says, seek and what? You shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. It's okay to search and to seek things out. And as long as there's things that you can operate in that God wants you to have, if you seek them, you'll find them. And the same thing is true if you've come across something that's not working right. Seek the Lord. Ask him what's going on. All right? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Revelation is so important. That's why it's so important to be in places where God is speaking. So important. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. Having made known unto us the what? Mystery of his will. Well, I just don't know what God's will is. Pastor, can you help me find God's will? Sure. Colossians 1:9, pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him in all things, being strengthened with might in the inner man. He has made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Isn't that what he told Abraham? You're going to have descendants as the stars of the sea in heaven and as the sand, or the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. Heavenly, earthly. And here Ephesians 1:9 is telling us, he made known unto us. That's a revealing. That's a revelation. Made known unto us his mystery. And last time we touched on some qualities and some characteristics that we can have to receive a revelation. Okay? The Bible says you must be teachable. Can you think of what is the opposite of being teachable? Unteachable or being a know-it-all? Have you ever heard someone say you're telling them a scripture, or they come to you for help and you give them a scripture and you start to say the scripture, they say, oh, I know that. I know that. Well, first of all, their first word is I. That's the middle word of pride, P-R, capital I-D-E. Read about the story of Lucifer. I will exalt myself. I will ascend above God. I. Yeah. The I is going to fall. You got to be teachable. Well, the Holy Spirit says he is a teacher, isn't he? You've got to be willing to be taught. Don't approach, even when someone is teaching you something that you know, just say amen. Keep smiling and looking forward, and nobody know that I'll be talking about you. Be open, because we all should go over the basics. We should never leave the simplicity of the gospel. So if someone is teaching you something that you know, just receive it so that God may show you some further things about what you know. Because what you know is not the end of it. That's just a part. Paul said we see in part. We look through a glass darkly. You know, we're looking, we don't see the whole picture sometimes. So, if we're teachable, if we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, even things that we already know, we'll get further revelation. So you've got to be teachable. You've got to be humble. James 4 says, you know, humble yourself. I don't know if it was in James or Peter, but humble yourself under the hand of God that he will exalt you in due time. Do you know in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said that he was prevented from being exalted because of the revelations? It was the revelations that were exalting Paul. And if we humble ourselves under God and under his hand, he will exalt us in due time. So there's a difference when God exalts us or when we try to exalt ourselves. You know, give yourself a pat on the back. If you're proud of your humility, you're in trouble. I'm proud to be humble. No, be humble. In other words, what does that mean? Don't put any trust in yourself or in the flesh. Put your trust in God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. You must be hungry. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, what's going to happen? You're going to be filled. You have to, you know, David got the revelation of a deer panting after water. He must have been watching his flocks one day, and he must have saw some deer, and the deer was going for the water, panting after the water as a deer. I wish I could sing. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. You know, a lot of the Psalms, David got revelation while he was worshiping the Lord. He got a revelation of what it meant to be a shepherd. As the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. He knew, he had some insight into how a shepherd provides for the sheep. Aren't you glad that as a sheep, you don't have to have want? Why don't you want? Because you have a good shepherd. It's a revelation. So you got to be hungry. You got to make room for what God will show you. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm almost finished for tonight. Philippians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 12. Paul is saying here, he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which for also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, say one thing. Isn't it amazing how Paul narrowed things down to one thing? But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, Paul kept reaching forth for further revelation. And Paul wrote half the New Testament. Think about this now. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, say thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He said, let us walk by the, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Corinthians tells us that we should have the mind of Christ, or have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And really, the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to go into that now, but it's true. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what was in Christ? The Holy Spirit. Well, we have the Holy Spirit in us too. Amen? So, you've got to be like-minded and open for a better way. So the spirit of revelation and knowledge, it's been given unto you to know the mysteries. So it's not a mystery anymore. So don't talk about the mystery. Talk about what you know. In order for us to walk in the light, how do we do that? We do what we know to do. And if we don't know, then we study to show ourselves approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Hear. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Well, how do you know if someone's hearing? The only way you can know that they're hearing is if they're doing. Amen? Does anybody have any questions about revelation? Or comments, thoughts, questions, or comments?